This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Winter is a great time for warm, hearty meals. It's Food Friday, and our guest today wants to highlight the versatility of some of the unappreciated staple foods in our kitchens. Turns out there's a lot you can do with different kinds of grains, beans, peas, and lentils. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you cook with a lot of beans and grains? Do you look off the beaten path for something different? What has worked well for you? Do you grow beans to sell to people to consume as opposed to for livestock consumption? I know we do a lot of that here in Wisconsin. Love to hear from you, farmers. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Abra Behrens is a chef and author of the cookbook Grist, a practical guide to cooking grains, beans, seeds, and legumes. She lives next door, by the way, over in Michigan. Abra, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks for your interest and for inviting me on.
Well, you write that for a while, you were like a lot of us, where you maybe took our grains and beans for granted. What got you excited about them enough to write a book?
Well, you know, so much of my cooking is based around the ingredients and getting excited about them and then wanting to figure out, you know, ways to work it into regular rotation in my kitchen. And I started cooking with more beans and grains when the farmers in my life, both my cousin Matt and also the growers at Grainer Farm where I get to cook, we're really focusing on growing more of that. And it was the first time that I cooked black beans from my cousin that I was like, oh, these are very different. they're super fresh and creamy, and the liquid was inky black, and they were just so delicious. And so, yeah, they started showing up more and more in my kitchen, and then wanted to see, you know, what else we could do with it, because they're such an important staple that I feel like get sort of maybe short shrift on the excitement page. And so just thinking about other ways to work them in and get excited about it.
And we get excited about local foods sometimes, but you have the same deal in Michigan we have in Wisconsin. You know, asparagus, great. We got that for a couple weeks. Squash, we got it for a month. But the things we're talking about today, beans and grains and things like that, they keep. How much more fun does that make it, knowing that we could really have pretty good quality stuff anytime we want it?
Well, it made it a really different topic. My first cookbook, Roughage, was all about produce. And so, yeah, you know, we have a limited number of things we can grow up here in the northern Midwest, and we have, you know, really distinct seasons. And for the beans and legumes and grains, it was really kind of thinking about it differently, that it's, they have seasons too, but that's not how we use them in our kitchen. They're like a pantry staple, shelf stable. And so they're really at the ready year round. So it really changed the way that I was thinking about writing these recipes and, you know, something that you kind of have at your back all the time that doesn't come and go in quite the same way.
Now you cover a lot of ground. I mean, the beans and lentils and grains, buckwheat and barley and lots of different things. But there's one way, one basic method to cook all of them that kind of works. Boil them right till they're done and then take out the excess water. That's a pretty simple, flexible way to approach these things.
Yeah, you know, it's so much of my food is really trying to, or my writing, I guess, is to bring people through the same process that I went through. And I was working in Chicago and was talking with another friend who was cooking with me. And I was like, oh, what's the ratio for rice again? And she was like, oh, I don't even bother anymore. I just boil it like pasta. And I thought, oh, that's so smart. I can just do that. And then, you know, it kind of extrapolated out from that. And it's a funny thing. These are such humble ingredients, but they really have a lot of mystery around them. You know, what's the exact right cooking ratio or, you know, cooking times or all of those different things. And when it occurred to me that you could just boil all of them and that's it. You know, it really was an eye opener. And I think so much of food media sort of pulls authority away from home cooks and into the restaurant kitchens and celebrity chef profiles and things like that. And this was a way to say like, no, really, all you have to do is heat up some water and boil them. And that gives you a really great start. And then everything else is gravy and you can make it suit your needs or what you have in your kitchen. So that, you know, if you're like us and you just got 9 inches of snow, you don't have to run to the store to get a particular ingredient, but you can use what you have on hand.
We're talking to Abra Behrens. Her new cookbook is called Grist, a practical guide to cooking grains, beans, seeds, and legumes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite bean you use in your cooking, a favorite grain? Do you have a question about how to cook with the things we're talking about, the seeds, beans, grains, and more? Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Abra, in your book, you solved a problem that I encountered 30 years ago. I lived by myself in my 20s for a while. I would cook a big batch of beans and rice, or lentil glop, I called it. If I'm going to cook this stuff, I'm going to cook a lot of it. And then I'd eat it that day and the next day. And you know where I'm going. I'm pretty sick of it a little ways in. You have a much better approach to cooking a lot of that stuff up front. What do you do?
Well, first of all, I want to see the recipe for lentil glop.
It wasn't pretty. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's funny because, you know, that's how throughout the book, there's a series called, you know, lentils, a week of lentils without boredom, or a week of black beans without boredom. And that all came because my sister made a big recipe of lentil glop, I think. And she was so proud of herself I got this text from her that she was like, I'm set for the week. And then every day you could just see her like spiraling over text message, just being so fatigued of eating the same lentil soup every day. And so it occurred to me that, you know, in restaurant kitchens, and that's, most people refer to that as batch cooking, where you make a large amount and then kind of parse it out throughout the week. And in restaurants, we also practice batch cooking, but it's different in that we're not making an entirely finished item, but instead prepping all of the individual ingredients to, you know, roughly 80% of doneness. And then when an order comes in, we finish it. And so I was thinking about ways that, you know, the sort of restaurant mentality could apply in home kitchens as well. And the idea being that if she had just cooked a pot of lentils and then used those lentils differently throughout the week, with the final day being the glop, then, you know, I think she would have had less fatigue. And so that's the idea, is that, you know, cook off a whole pot's worth of barley, and then here are a bunch of different ways to use it. And that can be everything from, you know, having it be the main feature of your dish on the first night when you're excited about it and you just put the pot on the stove. And then maybe the next day you're just going to crisp them up to make sort of like a crunchy topping to a salad or something like that. So you're getting really different attributes throughout the week.
You've shared some recipes with us. And Grist, you've got a carrot farro stew with a lemon chamomile oil. We've got that up on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now, farro, I have bought that optimistically and cooked it, and it was okay. I don't really know what to do with farro. What in a recipe like this are we doing with farro?
So farro is, it's in the wheat family. It's one of the earlier kind of biological lines of wheat. And the way that most people use it, I think it's, people can think of it very similarly to barley, in that it has a nice starch content. So it makes these really creamy, kind of hearty, toasty, nutty dishes. But it's not as kind of chewy as a traditional wheat berry would be. And a lot of that has to do with the processing. So, you know, same with barley. If you've gone through the pearling process, which happens, you know, at the seed cleaners, or where they're taking some of that outside bran off, that means that the starch is a lot more accessible. So it's going to cook up very creamy, you know, with kind of a creamy texture. And farro is the same way. So I often use it in something like that stew to kind of thicken the stew, because that starch is going to thicken the cooking liquid with it. Or you can do something like I call it farisotto, where you're basically making like a version of risotto, but instead of using rice, you're using this other starchy grain. And I love that carrot stew because it's so simple. I mean, it's farro and carrots, and you're just cooking them down together. But then most of these ingredients that are covered in Grist are kind of the base notes to a dish. They're really nutty or really rich and satisfying, but often that needs to be balanced with something kind of bright and acidic so that it doesn't just feel like strict comfort food only, but gives it a little bit of zip. And so the lemon chamomile oil is really just that. I mean, it's taking chamomile tea, or if you grow chamomile in your garden, you can use the flowers and the leaves for that. steeping it in some olive oil with some lemon zest. And it just adds this really lovely, like floral, lemony kind of pop to a really comforting stew.
We're talking to Abra Behrens, a chef who wrote the cookbook Grist, a practical guide to cooking grains, beans, seeds, and legumes. And you can join in now at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite kind of bean, a favorite recipe? Do you prefer them in tacos or stews, or fill in the blank? Do you have questions about how to cook certain types of beans or grains? Do you use buckwheat or barley or that farro in your cooking? I was saying farro. I guess it's farro. 800-642-1234 is the number to call with your own recipes, your questions. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Chef Abra Behrens. Her newest cookbook is called Grist, a practical guide to cooking grains, beans, seeds, and legumes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite kind of beans or grains you like to cook with, a favorite recipe you'd like to tell us about, or maybe something you've had at a restaurant that made you have a new respect for these often humble ingredients? Do you have a question about how to make some of this stuff? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you grow some of these things to sell maybe to a local farmer's market or a restaurant, love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's get to another recipe now, Abra, that we've got up on the at WPR.org/Food Friday. Lentils this time. Lentil and pecan-filled acorn squash with sage fried brown butter. This sounds really good. Tell us about this one.
Oh, I love that recipe so much because it is really just maximum comfort food. I mean, it's something you can make in advance and either just keep in your fridge for later in the week, or you can freeze it and then pop it into the oven when you need a quick meal. But this is another example of that way of, you know, cooking off a bunch of lentils and then working it into something, you know, further on down the road. So this is sort of a play on a traditional, you know, stuffed pepper, stuffed squash. Roast the acorn squash, scoop out that really creamy sweet flesh, and then blend it with some already cooked lentils, some pecans for crunch. There's some cheddar cheese in there. Mm. And then you put it back into the skin of the squash and rebake it. And over the top is a little bit of, you know, again, it's kind of like that lemon chamomile oil, just something that's going to add a little bit of herbaceousness to it. So this is some butter where you fry sage in it. And then the butter browns really nicely. It cooks the sage and it just adds kind of an extra layer of flavor and brightness to it.
Again, you can find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. So we got a caller now at 800-642-1234. Cindy is with us in Menominee. Cindy, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What you want to tell us about, Cindy?
Well, I wanted to tell you that yesterday was National Bean Day in the U.S.
Oh, I did not know that.
There
you're
you
a bean fan yourself, Cindy?
I am a bean fan. I grew up on a bean farm. My family's company is Chippewa Valley Bean Company, and we handle dark red, light red, and white kidney beans here in our facility. We're a large exporter. We buy beans from farmers throughout the Midwest, Wisconsin, the Central Sands, and around the Menominee-Eau Claire area. And yesterday we had Secretary of Ag Randy Romanski visit us to celebrate National Bean Day.
All right, you sell the beans, Cindy. Do you eat the beans?
Oh, my gosh, yes. You know, a half a cup of beans a day is really an important factor in diets. You know, beans are also pulses. Dry beans, peas, lentils, and chickpeas. And they are extremely healthy for you. Great protein levels, alternative to, you know, other types of protein. And they can be added to anything. Put in any type of dish that you want. There's a multitude of recipes. Our website's out there if you want to take a look. Wisconsin's been doing some great things, too. In fact, we actually will be celebrating through the school systems, the Wisconsin Chili Lunch Program. And we have been providing beans to them over the past number of years. But that's a really important thing, too, as our kids have opportunities to eat beans from Wisconsin in their chili in schools.
Cindy, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Wow, a Wisconsin pro on beans, Abra. She mentioned something we haven't gotten into, and you don't really, you know, hit it too hard, but there's a lot of good healthy stuff amongst the grains and beans we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the caller talking about the protein level, you know, it's a really healthy protein. It doesn't have any saturated fats along with it. It's a really environmentally friendly protein to be raising. And I think, you know, hats off to everyone who is growing these ingredients for us, because most of these things are not grown in our backyard gardens. And Wisconsin really has so many tremendous growers. I really am a big fan of Meadowlark Farms over in Ridgeway, Wisconsin. Hallie and her husband, John Wepking, are a, you know, farmstead grain and mill, and they're doing beautiful beans and wheats and all sorts of stuff. And it's just, it's really incredible to see these things in the Midwest and to be then, you know, shared all over the world.
Cindy, thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Abra Behrens about her new cookbook, Grist, A Practical Guide to Cooking Grains, Beans, Seeds, and Legumes. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. Cindy mentioned chili. You have a favorite bean-inclusive chili recipe you'd like to share. 800-642-1234 is the number. Abra, I want to visit a couple of the other ingredients you mentioned in the book. Buckwheat. Now, I've gotten buckwheat flour. I've mixed it in with pancake batter. That's cool. I couldn't pick, you know, buckwheat out of a lineup. Otherwise, what is it? What do we do with it?
Buckwheat, you've hit on probably one of my favorite ingredients in the book. Buckwheat it's a grain, but it's not in the wheat family. It's a misnomer. It's a transliteration of a different name. And it's its own thing. And it used to be a really big part of diversified agriculture because it's quick growing. So you can plant it. I know at our farm, we often have to kind of work it into rotation if it's a really wet spring and we're going to not have enough time to plant wheat or rye in the spring, buckwheat will go in. And it's super good for the fields. It's super good for us. And the thing that I love about it so much is that it is incredibly quick cooking. I always assumed that it would take a really long time to cook because it has sort of a Eastern European kind of salt of the earth kind of reputation, I think, or super healthy, you know, 70s hippie granola kind of connotation to it. And so I fully overcooked my first pot of buckwheat when I was boiling it. It really takes about 10 to 12 minutes boiling, and it cooks up super fluffy. I now use it often in place of couscous or, you know, anything like that. And it has a really nice texture and nutty flavor and pairs well with lots of things from our area. This time of year, I really like it with roasted beets and a little bit of dill and sour cream, or it goes really well with any sort of, you know, seared fish that's coming out of Wisconsin lakes, things like that.
You also visited a farmer, I think this is in the Detroit area, growing black-eyed peas. First of all, not really peas, right?
No, they're also a bean. Yeah, so that's the other funny thing about all of these ingredients is that they are so simple, but they also have their old ingredients. And so they have lots of different names, which adds to the confusion. So yeah, black-eyed peas, black-eyed crowder peas, things like that are technically a field pea, which is a form of a bean. And yeah, Jerry Hebron is a grower in Detroit with Oakland Avenue Farm. And what I wanted to do with these interviews with different farmers was to show the diversity of growers in the Midwest or even in the larger grain community. So, you know, my cousin is a black bean farmer on the west side of Michigan and has a very, you know, kind of straight ahead sells on the commodity market. And Jerry in Detroit is also a bean farmer in Michigan, but she grows for her community there as a place to create positions of employment and community development in Detroit. And they have very similar outlooks. They have very similar successes, and they have very different successes and very different hurdles. And so it's really fascinating to me to learn more about how these different communities are growing these ingredients for us to eat.
Let's bring on another caller now. Nancy is with us in Holman. Nancy, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about, Nancy?
Well, recently I've switched to plant-based eating, and one of the things I had never considered before was having beans as a snack at my desk. I'll go to the store and I'll buy just, to say, even chickpeas or black beans, and I'll rinse them and I'll put them in little Rubbermaid containers and take them to work, and I'll put on different seasonings like hot sauce or different spices just to do it, and I can pick them one by one, and it's so much healthier than like potato chips or other things I could be eating.
I love it, Nancy. Thanks for that call. I've roasted chickpeas in the oven, but this is just rinsed out of the can and some seasonings on them, Abra.
That sounds so good. Yeah, I thought she was going to say roasting them too, where they get super crunchy like a potato chip. And you can do that with almost all of these ingredients. You know, you can do it with black beans or lentils as well. But yeah, I had never thought of just having it straight away. That sounds great.
And just in our last less than a minute now, Abra, some people are purists. You got to cook those beans from dry. You say, hey, a can is just fine, especially if you're in a hurry.
Yeah, I think anything that gets those ingredients into your meal works. You know, I really loved cooking chickpeas from dried all the way through, which takes several hours, and, you know, meticulously skimming the pot and things like that. And now I can't be bothered. I open a can. And so it's really whatever is going to blow your hair back. If you really enjoy that process of slow cooking them yourself, then you should do that. And if you need dinner to get on the table in 20 minutes, pop that can open, and they're also really good ingredients that way.
Abra, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's really a treat to be here.
Abra Behrens is a chef and author of the cookbook Grist, a practical guide to cooking grains, beans, seeds, and legumes. We've got two recipes that she shared with us over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Maybe something you can make this weekend. Lentil and pecan-filled acorn squash with some sage-fried brown butter. Or carrot farro stew with lemon chamomile oil. Again, get those over at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you can keep sharing your favorites from these categories, the beans, the lentils, legumes, grains, all this stuff. Seeds, we didn't really get into seeds. Tell us about it over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.